We're focused on the legislative session, of course, until it wraps up in early May. And before we talk about homeschooling legislation, before we talk about DCF legislation, I have to ask State Senator Jason Perillo, who's been tracking this story since the very beginning and has been looking at it and has been having discussions with us here on WICC for over a year now. Did you see, Senator Perillo, welcome back, that there was a potential lawsuit? The man who allegedly was held captive for more than 20 years planning to sue the Connecticut Department of Children and Families. Did you see that?
I did see that. And let's be honest, Melissa, you kind of knew that was coming.
It was coming.
Right? I mean, even from the early stages of this, you know, I recall, you know, interviews with the, I believe it was the principal of the school stating that, you know, he and his staff had reported concerns about the student for, you know, many, many times. I think he might have even said, you know, double digit number of times to DCF, and that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we know what happened, and it wasn't good. It was terrible. And so you had to figure that at some point, you know, that the individual would start a lawsuit. So I'm not surprised at all by that.
So here's the thing. And by the way, welcome back, Senator Jason Perillo, who is the ranking senator for the Committee on Children and is very focused on certainly the protection of kids in Connecticut and has really been, I think, a huge advocate in, I don't want to say like ragging on DCF. I really think you have advocated for let's partner with DCF and make them stronger. Like, I really do want to make sure people know it's not enough to just sit here and say you've done everything wrong or this is not right. It's how do we come up with solutions? And I really want to say Senator Perillo has been one of the only lawmakers in Connecticut who is not just saying, yep, this is a broken system, but he's like, let me help you. But what can I do to help you? And so that's why I appreciate having these conversations with him. And so welcome back, Senator Perillo. Sorry, I didn't give you much of an intro.
No, I appreciate you saying that. And you know, to your point, it's the easiest thing in government is to just blame somebody. But, you know, we're all part of the process, and ideally we ought to be all part of the solution. So, you know, from the beginning, you and I and a lot of people have been looking to DCF to say, okay, let's work together. Let's figure out what went wrong. Let's figure out what you need from the legislature to make sure those things don't happen again.
Right.
I would love to say that DCF has been a really aggressive partner in this. They really haven't met my expectation and hope in terms of an agency that you know, really wants to get things done. I would say, honestly, and I hate to say this, but it's how I feel. In some ways, I feel that everybody knows there are problems at DCF, you know, except DCF.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny.
We're getting there.
Well, it's funny you say that, Senator Perillo. And I'm not knocking DCF. I think that there are people who are doing things at DCF that you couldn't pay me to do. We have a lot of shortages. You know, there's a lot that is lacking there, which is, again, but I think we have a lack of leadership. I'm not saying that the current interim commissioner, but we have just, I think, had a lack of leadership, but also the systems in place are whack. I don't have the article in front of me, so please forgive me because I'm probably going off the cuff a little bit. But if I feel like you read this article, if you at home did, you know, feel free to correct me. I believe Senator Perillo, going back to the alleged captivity case in Waterbury, what was the most alarming to me was that, you're right, the school came back and said, no way, you're not putting the onus on us. We went to DCF multiple times. And I believe this is when I talk about systems being broken, DCF came back and said, yeah, you made the calls, but we don't respond to, I want to say it was something like neglect versus abuse. It was something like that. It was the language or the verbiage. It was something. There was a reason they weren't responding to those requests from the school because of the type of complaints that were coming in. That was so egregious to me. And again, I'm not saying that those are the workers. There are clearly systems in place that they are following, but those systems are whack. You mean to tell me that because this kid wasn't like allegedly being abused right in front of your face, you can't acknowledge those at DCF cases? That's crazy.
Yeah, and And those are the kind of things where the legislature can partner with DCF to find improvement, right? So maybe we need a change in the law that requires DCF to follow up on those cases of neglect versus cases of abuse that you mentioned. Another area, and you and I have talked about this, some folks may recall, in this is now shifting over to the terrible situation in New Britain, where the poor girl who was killed.
Yep, Jacqueline Mimi Torres, yep.
There was a remote interview with DCF, and the supposed child was actually not Mimi. It was a different individual, but, the DCF worker couldn't really ascertain that because it was all via,
Correct. It's not the worker's fault. That is what the system is in place, which you and I have talked about. That is the most insane thing to me, because if there's somebody who kidnapped an individual in Connecticut and ended up all the way in California, our state police have a way of being like, well, we're going to work with the FBI. We're going to work with state police in any other state across the country. Why we don't have systems like that in place for DCF is just archaic and is irresponsible. That, again, is not the worker. But, man, the systems, to me, this is pretty elementary stuff. And I don't know why we're sitting on this or why DCF maybe doesn't recognize it's that big of a problem. But, I mean, it seems pretty elementary to me. A little bit.
Well, it does, because it is. And I have to say that the Children's Committee, on which I serve, the leadership of that committee, bipartisan, by the way, has, to its credit, been very, very focused on DCF and working with the agency and pushing the agency to do better. And, when it comes to funding, when it comes to training, the committee is very willing to work with DCF to give them the tools that they need.
Right.
But DCF has to be a willing partner in this. And everybody from DCF to the legislature needs to acknowledge and accept that DCF has been flawed for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not a comment about the people. It's a comment about the process.
Right.
DCF has been flawed for a very long time.
The
biggest failure we could experience right now is if we don't
do anything.
This opportunity, take advantage of the crisis to actually make change for the future.
Okay, so Senator Perillo, question for you, and this, I guess, becomes more of an opinion, or maybe honestly, you're on the front lines, you're talking to them. How much of that failure for decades is about leadership versus systems in place? So if we decided, let's just go back to that example of neglect versus abuse. Okay, let's say I'm making this up completely. Let's say in the 1980s, DCF is like, yup, we don't need to respond to neglect cases because any yutz could be neglected. I don't know, I'm totally making this up. But we've realized that that is an archaic system. How much of it is more of, you think, an archaic system that we just haven't paid attention to for a long time versus a lack of leadership, having consistent leadership in this department? Or is it a combo of both?
Well, first of all, I'm going to use the word yutz a lot more in my everyday.
It's the best. It's the best word. I use it all the time. I've even had my 7-year-old use it, and I get calls from his teacher. I'm very sorry ahead of time. But yes, yutz. I'm just saying, I got to use it. It's a good one.
But to your question, I've experienced this in government and in my own professional life. I think it's all about leadership.
You do?
It's all about leadership. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Leaders lead. And as a department head, if you don't take it seriously, nobody who works for you is going to take it seriously.
Right.
If you don't embrace change, nobody who works for you is going to embrace change. So, and you look at, DCF's a great example. And this is not a commentary on any individual, but I think there have been, 3 commissioners in the last 4 years?
Yep. Correct. Yep.
How do you get any sort of momentum?
Well, and then you had the former commissioner who put it, this is my understanding, because I have people who work for DCF who have told me, that they put a brand new internal system in place or something that totally put things out of whack for all the workers. And they tried to kind of hustle and figure it out. And then she put her notice in for a new job and just left.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, there was a big change.
I thought, are you
recently,
kidding me?
6 months ago.
How do you roll out a brand new system that your workers are telling you, they're screaming from the rooftops that it's not going to be this easy transition. And then you put your notice in a couple months later. I mean, that's terrible. And when you talk about archaic systems that need to be changed, you're right. I mean, only somebody who cares enough at the top, who then is going to look at it and go, hey, wait a second, is this working? Do we need to update this? If you don't have that, then who's going to call it out? I guess it becomes lawmakers or I don't know, or bad cases.
In fairness, though, And look, the legislature is more than willing to step up on this, and we are doing that. But when we talk about tone at the top, you have to look at the governor's office, too. Let's be clear. The commissioners work for the governor.
True.
So Governor Lamont needs to take this seriously. Because if Governor Lamont doesn't take it seriously, why on earth would the commissioners take it seriously?
Fair.
Right?
I mean,
so it
well,
all flows downhill.
Yeah, I mean, but it's interesting, Senator Perillo, because I look at the office of the Connecticut Child Advocate. And, I mean, Christina Guillo comes on this show all the time. I have to say, she makes herself available like crazy. DCF, on the other hand, that's a whole other can of worms. I can barely get them to respond to my emails. I think that the governor thoughtfully looked at Christina Guillo, her background, her dedication to Connecticut. And granted, I know she's still kind of in this process of she's the acting. I don't know if she'll be approved or not. But I think it's interesting you say that, because I feel like in that regard, I do think he thoughtfully looked at somebody who does have some purview over DCF. And I feel like he chose correctly. Again, that's just from my experience from her. I don't know from the standpoint of others. But it is interesting because in some regard, I do agree. I think that this was a focus, you know, for the Office of the Child Advocate. I don't see it as much with DCF, though. And I don't know if that's because it's a bigger beast. It's a bigger mess. There are more failures. I'm not sure.
You know, I don't want to speak for DCF. But what I've observed in state government generally with a lot of the agencies is that everybody is so afraid of making a mistake. So very often, nothing gets done.
Mm.
So when you know, talk about talking to the press, talking to reporters, talking to you who wants to share what's going on with the community, they're not really thrilled to do that, right? Because there's risk. Anytime you talk to a reporter, anytime even I come on to talk to you, there's risk that I'm going to say something stupid, which happens from time to time. Let's be honest.
But it's fine.
Some agencies are just going to get away from that risk. They don't want to talk to reporters. And I look, that's just the world.
Right. No, and that's true. That's true. I do think in some regard, you're right. You know, if Governor Lamont is focused on DCF, you'll see something. I guess that's my point is I do feel like he focused on the Office of the Child Advocate. I think Christina Guillo is I think she's a good match. I think she cares. I think she is looking at the broad picture. May not agree with everything, but I think she's a good match. You need to find that for DCF. And maybe that's a harder task. I don't know. But you got to put that same kind of effort into DCF. That's kind of my,
And you and I have talked about this. I think we both acknowledge that working at DCF, whether you're a frontline worker or the commissioner, is no picnic.
No.
It is one of the toughest agencies to work for in the state. It's because you have to be right all the time. All the time. That said, pursuit of that is necessary.
Yes.
Right? Pursuit of perfection is necessary because it's at the end of the day, we're not flipping burgers here. This is the safety of our kids.
Right. Few more minutes with State Senator Jason Perillo. I wish we had more time, but I think next week, Senator Perillo, we will. Probably worth having you come back on.
Because there's a lot going on.
I know. So let's get to homeschooling legislation. And I just want to make sure people are aware of what has transpired just in the last 48 hours and what could come next week. Give us the scoop on this.
Well, so the Children's Committee, again, on which I serve, voted yesterday on a bill with a homeschooling component. I was opposed to it, but I want to tell you why. So what the bill does is it requires boards of education, local boards, to report through to the Department of Children and Families anytime a student is withdrawn from the school system for any reason. So want to put your kid in private school? DCF has to be notified. Want to homeschool your child? DCF has to be notified. And to me, there's two reasons. A, it feels like Big Brother. I don't like that. And two, I just don't trust the state of Connecticut to stay out of people's lives. I mean, look, we just have this insatiable lust in the state government to insert ourselves into what's going on in people's families. And to me, once you start this mandatory reporting of people who have done nothing wrong, I've read this book before here in Connecticut.
Absolutely.
And it worries me.
So totally get the worry. And let's be honest, Senator Perillo, every time there's an attack on homeschooling families, it's when a horrible tragedy happens. I mean, let's date back to you in Sandy Hook. Yeah, I mean, what happened with Sandy Hook and you know, I hate to say the guy's name, but Adam Lanza, the homeschooling community got attacked for that, too, because Adam Lanza was pulled out of the schools and all of that. So I hate the fact that you have a Waterbury situation, you have a New Britain situation, you even have something like a Newtown. Immediately, the government looks at homeschooling. That's wrong. Full stop. I'm with you. Full stop. There should not be a scapegoat. We should be, again, going back to agencies like DCF or looking at the school systems, looking at that. I'm with you 1,000%. However, I don't know if I'm buying so much. Like this to me didn't seem like that big of a deal when I was reading through it. Because I look at just my kids in public school, right? If Chase misses 10 days of school, DCF is getting notified. That's already like a state law, and that's if he's still in school right now. If Chase misses 10 days of school, I am told by my school district that DCF has been contacted. Because what if I am keeping him from school? What if I'm doing something wrong, even if he's enrolled? So we have laws in place already that involve DCF, even if the kid's not pulled out of school. I didn't read this bill as being an attack on homeschooling. I felt like it actually kind of made us more equal. Because right now, if your kid is in public school and they don't show up for more than 10 days, DCF's getting a call.
Yeah, and that's a fair observation. I will say this, though. The devil's in the details. And one of the things that we heard when we had the public hearing, and you hear testimony from experts, one of whom was the commissioner of the State Department of Education.
Mm.
And one of the things we heard from the commissioner is that there are actually legitimate legal concerns as to whether or not this information can legally pass from State Boards of Education to DCF. Now, look, I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand all of that. I'm just being honest with you. That said, we've got a state agency telling us that what the bill says ought to be done, the passive information, is probably not legal. So our alternative, you know, something I supported, was say, okay, we get it. We understand you want to make sure that kids are safe and that we may need to share some information to do it. But we've been told by one of our main agencies we can't do it. So why don't we take a step back, take a year, study this, get information from other states. What do other people do? You know, what are the legal problems? How do we get through those legal problems? And how do we do it in a way that keeps people safe and that is not Big Brother-esque?
I get that. I'd have to know what that means.
The proposal to do a study was
did that pass? No, it wasn't.
It did not.
So what did pass or did nothing pass?
When you pass a bill, it doesn't say maybe. It says must.
No, right.
So
did nothing pass or did something pass?
Oh, it passed out of committee. The full language, as you've read it, that has this passage information back and forth. That said, though, next week there's activity on a separate homeschooling bill in the education committee. So now you've got two competing bills, which makes things completely complicated, unnecessarily so. But you're going to see the homeschooling community out in force about that, too, because that bill is much larger in scope and ever-changing. And to be quite honest, it's not a committee I serve on, so I don't know the details as well as some others might like. But I'm told it's quite
It's aggressive. Lengthy. It's more than 19 pages. I saw the bill. It's a lot. I don't know how similar it is to last year, but if it's anything like last year's bill, that was probably one of the most attended public hearings in last year's legislative session. I mean, more than 2,000 people showed up for that. So I would imagine the same would happen next week. I agree with you, Senator Perillo, that we only scratched the surface. I want to talk more to you specifically about the homeschooling community. So let's talk offline about when you can come back on the show next week. And I appreciate you always giving us the time here on WICC.